Welcome to this episode of Wildcast. I'm your host, Matt Blymeyer. Our guest today is a native of Mesa, Arizona, went to college at Aurora, began coaching at Chatham, went to Ohio Wesleyan before taking the head coaching position at Penn College. Please join us in welcoming the head men's lacrosse coach, Jordan Williams. Jordan, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Matt. I hate to call you out on the first thing, but you missed one stop on my my path here.
What's the stop?
Lourdes University, Toledo, Lourdes. Ohio. Well, Sylvania, Ohio.
Yeah.
Skipped it. NAIA.
Let's go into that. It's a good segue, very aggressive segue, but good segue into your coaching journey, your path. Tell us about what you learned as an assistant coach in each stop and then applying for this position and what made you want to.
I think the biggest things I learned as an assistant coach was the importance of relationships with kids. And it does not matter how much you know about a sport. They really don't care until you get to know them. And as a GA, I was young. I was 23. There was five or six guys older than me. I had to build a relationship because they're like, why are we listening to this guy? So at Lourdes, Pat Yannarelli was my boss, gave me an opportunity, gave me a ton of responsibility. So I did a little bit of everything. I was running the offense. I did all of our academics. I ran the strength program, everything. So I learned just build relationships with guys because it allows you to do all those things a little bit more effectively. And then finished there, got my MBA, was there for two seasons, had a lot of success as a program, went to Chatham with my old, he was an assistant when I was at Aurora, Phil Dotson, who's the Lake Forest head coach now. He gave me an opportunity, ran the offense, kind of was part of the first season and a half as they started the program at Chatham. And what I learned there was you can recruit kids to schools from all over if you put in the effort, no matter what the school offers, no matter the location, education, new school, old school, anything, and just the importance of making a lot of phone calls and really, really trying to get kids to be interested. Because you start a new program, and the biggest thing that I learned from that was the more kids you have, the more chances you have to find some success early on. And I think going from learning to build relationships and then learning to recruit to a Division III school versus the NAIA with no scholarships was a big jump. And then about halfway through that season, Ohio Wesleyan opened up. It was a full-time position. I wanted to coach college lacrosse as a profession and not work at a bagel shop, baking bagels 40 hours a week before.
At 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yep. It was like a 3 a.m. to 1 p.m., 5 days a week. Brugger's Bagel, shout out. Hopefully it don't get taken down because of that. But when I got to Ohio Wesleyan, it was just kind of the big thing I learned was the difference in skill level and what it takes to be really, really good at different levels. Because we were fringe top 25 team the two seasons I was there, and we were still getting beat by Salisbury RIT by 15 plus goals. And it's like, you think you're good, but someday you're the hammer, someday you're the nail. And I think just with all of the coaching stops, I've just learned a lot of what I want, but a lot of what I don't want to be as a coach, and not in a negative way. Just I think learning to be authentically you, and not trying to steal things from other people. It's exactly the same. It's like what worked for Dotson when he was at Chatham wasn't going to work for me because we're different people. What worked for Planthold at OU isn't going to work for me. So it's like I could steal stuff that worked in a sense to help me find who I wanted to be as a coach. And then all of those things I think kind of culminate to I knew I wanted to start a program when I was applying for positions. I applied to a few head coaching jobs. Most of them were new programs because I played at a startup program. I've been a part of a startup program in pretty much everywhere I've been besides Ohio Wesleyan. And I think all those kind of culminated in how to recruit, how to build a culture, how to really do something that I wanted as a program. Because you go to all these places and you play here and you're like, oh, I love that. I didn't like that. You go here, oh, that was really cool. I don't want to do those though. So I think all those things kind of helped me get to the part where I wanted to start a program and be able to recruit.
I'll pause you there before we get on because I had asked you a two-parter, but you had mentioned something that I'd like to go back on. You did the traditional grind of the assistant coach, bagel shop, not making a living, just coaching. Talk about that grind and how much passion you still have to have for the ultimate goal, which is a head coach or a full-time assistant job, and how much you learned about yourself and maybe how much your love for the sport grew because you were probably doing things you didn't expect to do 5 years out of college with a college degree, like making bagels.
Well, the bagels were very good. But yeah, it was when I was a GA, you know, you're getting your master's degree. So I was like, I'm getting a degree. That was my focus. So it wasn't as big of a deal. And then when I got to Chatham, I was making $3,000 stipend. I was able to coach with a club team and make a little bit of money on the side there, but I still had to pay bills and rent in the city of Pittsburgh, which was not super cheap. So I remember applying a bunch of places and I was getting paid $14 an hour. And that was the only job that would work with my schedule to where I could go to practice in the afternoon and then go coach club later in that night. So that is why it would be like a 3-to-1 every day. But it definitely made me realize that I want to coach lacrosse because I was like, I put in so much time into doing all these other things that once I got to lacrosse, it made me really appreciate the fact that I was at lacrosse and I got to build relationships and I got to connect with guys. But yeah, it was not easy. And I hope that people don't have to do that to get into coaching college sports. But it is one of those things that when I look back, I'm glad I did because I think it helped me with my work ethic. And that's why I think I do a good job recruiting overall, because I'm used to just putting a lot of time into just monotonous things that no one really wants to do, but they're what make you find success at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's interesting that I think college coaching is one of those professions where you still have to do, essentially it's an internship for, mm-hmm. you know, very low paying internship for a few years before you can make it. Now, you did find something else when you were in Pittsburgh that has benefited you beyond Pittsburgh through OWU and here in Williamsport.
Are you talking about Permanis and putting sandwiches or fries on sandwiches?
I was talking about Kelsey, but...
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Kelsey. We've been together, I think, now, what is it, 7 years? Two kids later. We have a 4-month-old Ridge and then an almost 3-year-old Frankie. And big shout out to them because season was really tough this year with two kids. And I don't think we would have been able to make it through if Kelsey didn't sacrifice so much time. So
yeah, Ridge was born
January 1.
Right before the season started, 3 weeks before the season starts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and tough. 13 hours too late for taxes.
Oh, no. All right, so that's your background of assistant coaching. I'm sure you applied at several schools for a head coaching position, including Penn Colleges. At the time we were transitioning from a club sport to an NCAA sport, the job was for the first time ever full-time, and you threw your hat in the ring. Walk us through the decision to apply for this position. What intrigued you about it?
Yeah, I mean, I applied in, I think it was April or May of 2020, so middle of COVID. You know, I was furloughed at Ohio Wesleyan, and I was getting unemployment, getting actually paid more on unemployment than I was as an assistant coach. And the first thing I saw was Williamsport, and I was like, oh, Little League World Series, just growing up as a baseball fan, go Mets. It was just one of those, hey, you shake your head, Philly guy. It was one of those things that caught my eye, and then every school I've been at, we've always struggled to recruit against schools with engineering. So when I saw technology, I thought it would be a lot of engineering, and I looked at the majors and I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. Ended up applying because of that, on top of building a new program and having the opportunity to start it. But now when I look back, the majors are kind of engineering, but we're all trades. I think I have like 3 guys on our team in engineering, and everyone's more hands-on. But to go back to that, I think the thought process was opportunity to start a new program, the majors, and just to go somewhere new and do something. Because I had a 5-year plan when I started being a GA that I wanted to be a head coach after 5 years. I wasn't going to apply anywhere until my 5th season was up. Obviously, COVID cut that short because I didn't feel comfortable as a if I was younger than 27, like looking parents in the eye and be like, yeah, I can take care of your kid. Because I was like a 25-year-old. I'm still figuring myself out. So I think that was the thought process and the whole application. Old AD called me pretty quick, and I just knew right away when he called me, like, this would be a really good fit for me. Came and visited. Knew the second I walked away. I said it multiple times throughout the interview process, like, if I'm offered the position, I'm going to take it. And when I was called to get offered the position, I told them yes, and they said, oh, think about it. I was like, I don't need to think about it. So that's what Vanderveer when he called me.
John called you?
Yeah, he called me, and he's like, hey, you want it? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, think about it. I was like, I'm telling you right now, there's nothing you're going to say. It's going to change it.
What's the phone call like? I'm sure there's a lot of logistical things you have to think about. There's emotional stuff. You're leaving one place, going to another. How quickly were you able to process all of those things right away? I mean, it's a big decision because there's a lot of moving parts to it.
I think it was easy for me because if I'm applying to something, I've already kind of decided in my brain that this is something I want to do. Like, there's no part of me that needs to make a decision after. I do all my thinking beforehand, and I wouldn't have applied if I wasn't ready to move. I don't know if it would, for an assistant coach, probably not, but for head coach, that was a big part of it. Right. And I remember when I first told Kelsey about the job, she's like, absolutely not. We're not moving to Williamsport. And then it slowly, as it became more real, she changed her tune and she loves it out here. So
nice.
And she's a social worker, so she can work anywhere. So thank gosh.
Yeah. So first year as a head coach, was there a moment during that first year where you had a welcome to head coaching moment?
Yeah. I mean, there's two, one that comes to mind in the sense of the decision. One that comes to mind is when I got here, it was a club team. So we had 35 guys interested, and I think by spring we had 21, five of them never played lacrosse before, but the wake up call there was coming from like a top 25 Division III program to what we had. Great guys, but just the skill level. So that was like, okay. But the one coaching wise was probably the first time I ever had a tough conversation with a player besides like playing time stuff. And it's gotten easier having tough conversations because like I tell the guys all the time, like the only way to get better at tough conversations is to have them. Yeah. But that was like the first one where it's like, oh, I can't just defer to my head coach to do this. I can't just be a fly on the wall and listen and critique or, you know, and be like, oh, that was cool. It was like, I have to do this. And yeah. That was scary.
It's always tough. Let's move into coaching philosophy, team culture. Tell us a little bit about your coaching philosophy, maybe the pillars of that that set the culture that you want in your program.
I'd say coaching philosophy, at the end of the day, you can learn without being taught. I think I come from teachers. Both my parents were teachers. Grandparents were in education as well. And Matt's given me little air quotes because my mom says that she comes to watch me coach in air quotes like it's not a real thing. But she's a teacher, so I don't understand that.
Yeah, but come on.
But at the end of the day, I think you can learn without being taught. And I've stole that from somebody years ago. And it just, I used to be very deliberate. You had to have everything scripted. It had to look like this, this, this. And now it's like, the messy is good. The gray is good. Let guys figure it out. Because if you spoon feed everything, they learn the shape of the spoon. They don't learn how to feed themselves. And I think at a school like this, where we have so many young men and women, but specifically on the team, that are very mechanically inclined, they like step one, step two, step three. I think they struggle when they get here at first with how I run practice and just how we go about stuff. But then when they look back, they're like, oh, that's so much more fun. And then I guess to learn without being taught, but it should be fun. Lacrosse is a game. Like, you should be looking forward to practice every day. If you're not looking forward to practice, you won't make a sport for 4 years in college. In the sense of the culture side, when I decided to apply, like, I did a whole coaching portfolio, which really made me reflect on, like, what's important to me? What do I want out of my experience as a head coach? And when I look back at what did I get when I was a player and those things. And, like, the three pillars that it came back down to were service, gratitude, and grit. And to me, service, I think I just come from a family that has always put service very high. And it's just, hey, if you can help people, let's help people. If you can serve people, let's serve people. So that was like a big thing. And I always think back to all the little events that we did in college and how they seemed like not a big deal at the time, but they were pretty impactful. So it's like, I want to be able to give guys that experience. So we put a huge emphasis on that. Gratitude, yes, it's being grateful for opportunities and, you know, the things in front of you, but it's also like a growth mindset of like, well, we failed. Well, what can I learn from this? And I'm grateful because I got that chance to do that. Or we succeeded. What can we learn? And then the last one is grit. And the question that we pose with that is, am I choosing toughness? And I think for the guys here, it's a very old physical, like I'm, you know, I'm a guy, I'm going to run through a wall, I'm tough, blah, blah, blah. But it's the emotional toughness. It's the mental toughness. It's not just reacting because you feel like that's what you have to do. It's taking a deep breath, taking a step back and responding versus reacting. You know, so the overarching theme of our program, it's cool to care. At the end of the day, we want guys that care. And we want guys that really have no problem showing that they care about stuff, whether that's being a great student, a great person, a great lacrosse player, a great friend, whatever it may be. We want guys to show that they care because you don't look at the guy who thinks he's too cool and be like, oh, that guy's awesome. Mm-hmm. You laugh at that guy because he's probably not doing anything with his life.
at one point now you're in your fifth year. So you're through a complete cycle of recruited student athletes that you recruited. Whether it was this year, last year, 2 years ago, was there a point in your program where the culture didn't have to be set by you alone, that you finally had, you know, your type of players where they were kind of self-policing and self-administering what the culture needs to be in this program?
I would say that there is never a time where, as the coach or the head of a company, a team, whatever, can ever be completely hands-off, because I think it's a dynamic thing that changes every day, because situations do this and then, you know, you get this response and whatever that may be. But I think this year was the first year that our seniors and just our leadership council guys in general took a huge, huge role in a little bit of everything. And my two assistant coach is this year, Zach Miller and Jake Heitner, both did an awesome job with that as well. So it let me kind of take a step back. But I think this was the first year that we've had like leaders top to bottom, that it's not just doing the right thing off the field. It's doing the right thing on the field and holding each other to standards. But at the end of the day, it's like, if I'm hands off completely, then the guys think that I don't care about that stuff. So it's like, I want to be involved, but it's really nice to see that the guys were able to do that a whole lot more this year. And, you know, we graduate 8 guys this year, and I think we have a big vacuum to fill, like a big space of leadership with the guys graduating, which is a cool challenge, because that means that we have an opportunity for guys to step up next year. And this will be the first time that these seniors that have been here since the beginning are no longer here.
Let's talk about figuring out how to recruit to Penn College, especially in a sport like lacrosse. Traditionally speaking, the majors we offer aren't necessarily big with high school kids that want to be college lacrosse players. You have figured it out. Your roster is always between high 40s, low 50s. When did you figure out what kind of high school student you can go after?
Yeah, I think a trial by error. My first year, I had 145 visits on campus. I mean, this room that we're in right now, everyone used to joke that this was my office, because I was in here pretty much all day, every day. We'd have minimum 10 visits a week, morning, afternoon. I think I wasted a lot of time in the sense of getting that many kids to campus. But I learned what worked and what didn't work, and that was just me kind of fine-tuning the message and understanding that. So I think it took about 2 years, two to three years of really being like, okay, now I know the schools that we can get to, the club programs where we're going to find success. And it all comes down to relationships. I call a lot of high school coaches. I call a lot of club coaches. And if I'm recruiting a guy, I call to get a reference on him. And then I'm always like, hey, I don't know how much you know about our school. This is what we offer academically. Do you have any guys that might fit that mold? And we've had a lot of success that way as well. But I think just throwing everything at the wall to start and just reflecting on it, learning from it, and then changing up what I was doing. But I'd say probably 2 to 3 years is when I figured out, hey, I don't need to bring this many kids on campus, which has been really nice in that sense. But like you kind of mentioned, there's not a lot of schools that offer what we have and Division III lacrosse. There's probably 3, maybe 4 other in the country that offer similar majors, but maybe not to the depth of our programs, bachelor-wise, academic-wise, everything.
If I'm a high school lacrosse player right now, I'm interested in majors that Penn College has and offers, and I want you to recruit me, what kind of things will you look for when you come out to identify me, and how can I get in touch with you as a prospective student athlete in order to get on your radar as a coach?
I think the biggest thing is you got to reach out to me if we have not had a conversation before. So you can email me jgw8@pct.edu, or you can text me 480-277-3862. Yeah, oh, throwing that out there. I don't. Yeah, I text me. It's so much easier. But to get on our radar, just let me know. Send me film. Let me know your summer schedule, your fall schedule, whatever it may be, because I think there's a lot of guys that we just don't have the opportunity to see play. Or maybe they're on a field next to what I'm watching that day, and that guy could be an absolute perfect fit on and off the field, and I just don't know unless someone reaches out. But, I mean, everyone's looking for the athlete with a great stick that, you know, can do X, Y, Z, but usually those guys are noticed by everybody. I was an off-ball player in college, so offensively I look for smart players. I look for guys with good sticks that can do things outside of dodging, because I was not a great dodger. And I was not good on defense either. I was an omitty, but a D liability is what I used to tell people. But we're just looking for guys with great sticks, because I think if you got a good stick, you can find the field anywhere in the country, and with good lacrosse IQ and with a work ethic and a compete level that you can't really be taught. And I think with the majors we offer, we tend to get kids with that kind of compete level to begin with, because it is just a little bit more physical and hands-on than other things. And I think those are the things we're looking for. Obviously, if you're a bad teammate, we're going to find that out sooner or later, whether it's when you're here or whether it's before when I watch you in a summer ball game and you score a goal, but none of your teammates give you a high five. Probably there might be something there, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Thanks, man.
We'll get off topic a little bit. Talk about some two passions I think you have, or two things that you're interested in that you and I talk about a lot. One is pickleball, where you've gotten a nickname Smash Williams because you like to smash the ball very aggressively most of the time. But also, you and I have shared this interest in books, particularly audiobooks. Actually, I guess exclusively audiobooks through Audible, because we had started, unbeknownst to each other, listening to the same book, and then we liked the narrator, and then we went down this whole rabbit hole of new authors and things like that. Let's start with pickleball.
Pickleball. Smash Williams, I like that name. And for all the listeners right now, this is the lobster, Matt Blymeyer, because he likes to lob the ball into the roof and complain that it was going to land, but it wasn't.
It was 100% going to land. The roof needs to be
a little bit higher. But yeah, pickleball, what a great sport. Was it last summer? You guys started playing it. Never played it before. I was not very good at racket sports to begin with. Played it, and it is just very, very fun. It is low impact tennis, very easy learning curve. So it was really fun to do that, because, you know, as the older guys in the office, Matt and and Mr. Kennel, even though he's probably the most athletic of all of us.
Don't say that publicly.
I know. Just cut that air. Yeah, we'll cut pickleball, just a really, really good time. It's hard when you graduate college and you're done playing sports, whether high school, college, to find like a competitive thing. So it's fun to be able to compete and see yourself get better at something, because it's like some days I'm like, I'm going to just work on this. And whether I lose or not, which we don't to Matt, but shout out Tyler Mensch. I think we were undefeated in 2024. I don't think we lost one match.
I don't think that's true, but I think you guys have a good connection.
Pickleball is just a ton of fun in that sense. And it's a good exercise, because as you get older, it's easy to get big. And so it's fun, and I can't wait for the gym to be done so we can play more pickleball. Jack Carr.
Coming soon.
I know.
This month.
A couple weeks. Like 2 weeks from now. So Jack Carr, I got that book from, or the whole series from my sister's husband. He told me to read it a couple years ago, and I read the hard copy of the first two, and then we ended up talking about it. And the narrator, Ray Porter, shout out, I really like how I like his enunciations. I like his voice. So I ended up finding every book that he did audiobooks with. And then we got into another author, Don Winslow.
And my goodness, Winslow has
30-hour long books. Yeah, insane.
18, maybe?
I would say probably like 20-plus books.
20-plus books, which I've finished.
I'm at like 15 of them, yeah. But yeah, audiobooks are the best. When you're going recruiting, you're going on road trips, so much nicer than listening to music the whole time, and helps me lock in and pay attention.
It's always great walking in the office. Jordan's office is the first one as you walk in. It's like, Jordan, did you get to this chapter yet? And you're like, yes. I'm like, yes. And then we just start nerding out about these Winslow books, because they're incredible.
So
also, the Jack Carr books are great too. It's been, I guess, a year and a half since his last one. So we're excited for his next one to come out, which is a prequel.
Yeah.
I believe.
Tom Reese.
Yeah.
It's his dad.
Father. Yeah. The prequel is coming out. It's the Jack Reese series. We are pretty sure is over the way it ended.
Yeah. I mean, if they had more, I'd be blown away.
Yeah.
But I will gladly listen to them if there are more.
All right. Final two questions. We'll move back to sports. You've been fortunate to make several championship game appearances. You've had a lot of all conference selection. You have seen some records broken. This season, it was your best season yet as far as your record, 14 wins, I believe, a conference runner-up. Is there a favorite moment for you on the field that you've had as a head coach here?
I would say my favorite moment actually happened this year is when we scored the game winner against Westminster with like 25 seconds left. It was the most fun I think I've had as a coach at any place. Just that game was just back and forth. They beat us 10-9 last year, so it was just a really, really fun environment. And, you know, every goal was just exciting, no matter what it was. So I would say that has been my favorite moment that just comes to mind, you know, because we're still 0-3 in championships. So don't have one of those yet. Keyword.
How about favorite moment off the field? You spend a lot of time with these guys through non-trad, through traditional season. You guys do a ton of community service. You have that spring break trip where it's a lot of time on the bus for a week with this. Is there a moment with the team? Is your favorite moment off the field?
It'd be really hard to pick one favorite moment just because we do spend a lot of time and we do put a lot of emphasis off the field stuff. But we did a spelling bee over spring break this year, and it might have been one of the funniest things that I've ever been a part of. Just, I think the first six guys misspelled words. We were using sixth and seventh grade words. Some of them were pretty hard. Mm-hmm. I will give them some credit. But the room absolutely erupted when the first kid spelled the word correctly. And it was just hilarious.
What about bus karaoke?
Bus karaoke is also a ton of fun.
Tell us about bus karaoke. Is a banana's involved, correct?
Banana is the microphone.
Yeah.
This year, bus karaoke was after Westminster, and by the time I got the banana, it was disgusting. But Mr. Brightside is my song.
Oh, that's your go-to?
Oh, it's my go-to song.
It's not Timber?
It is not Timber. I love Timber. Not a karaoke song, though.
Timber is your dancing song.
Timber is everything. Yes, I love it. Oh, yeah, Kesha, songbird of our generation. But yeah, no, Mr. Brightside was my song. But we had some guys crush it this year. Like Elliot Dotson was singing Frank Sinatra, and he went through the whole song. Normally, guys will like pick a song for like 30 seconds. And we had a lot of guys where I was like, whoa, you're pretty good. Oh, Corbin does. Moore. He's a big Toby Keith guy. I'll leave it at that.
Makes sense. Checks out. If you know Corbin, makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Okay.
And Mike Stank graduated. That used to be Corbin's partner for Toby Keith songs, but now Owen Cupsey has took the mantle from him, and it was good. It was very entertaining, to say the least.
Awesome. All right, Coach Williams, where can your friends, family, future fans follow the journey of Penn College men's lacrosse on social media?
Instagram and Twitter. If you used to call it X, sorry, are at PCTMLAX. That tag was handled before me. Refuse to use the word lax. I do not like it. I think you should call it lacrosse. All my guys on my team know that because I call them out.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. That concludes this episode of